Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Keeping It Real Fridays here on the Dadon Tolbert Show. I am your host, Dadon Tolbert. This is a special impromptu live Keeping It Real Fridays. It's going to be end up being an Ask Dadon Advice edition of Keeping It Real Fridays. You guys were really receptive to the last time that we were live. I think it was last Friday, I believe, actually, where we were last live for Keeping It Real Fridays, and we did a special advice hour. So that was a crazy show. It was a classic show, so we're back tonight talking about an issue that a lot of people, I know for a fact, can relate to on Friday nights, on the weekend, and that is sex. You know, we talk about everything here from a biblical perspective, and tonight we're going to do that, but we're also going to talk about it from a real perspective, an everyday perspective. Not just sex, though, but specifically sex games. Games that are being played in and out of the bedroom. Many of you may remember a title by that name from a few years ago, which is why tonight's show is entitled Sex Games 2014, because, you know, as we move forward, as we live life, as many people grow older, the games end up not necessarily going away, but changing. And so we want to talk about, what some of those games are, how to identify the various games that are in effect in dating and relationships, and talk about it from a talk about it from the consequences perspective. You know, what will playing games, what effect will playing games have on your chances of ultimately becoming a wife, finding a wife, fellas, how you will be perceived. You know, just the consequences of games, and because the black community specifically has become rampant with games, and so we just want to talk about them tonight from a very real way. You guys are definitely welcome to call in with any questions or comments or feedback. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad, and we can get it in. Got a lot to talk about tonight, but first let me go ahead and introduce my co-host for the evening. Courtney is here with me tonight. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know I'm good, Courtney. I'm excited, as I know you are as well, talking about, a topic that people can relate to, a topic that people enjoy talking about, sex games. Is that anything you know anything about?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Something I've done in the past. So, yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about a lot of things. You know, sex games is one of those things that, you know, it's not one of the things that people like to admit. You know, when I talk to women, you know, usually it's something that they do or something that has been, you know, done to them. But very few people, male or female, will admit to actually playing games. And unfortunately, it's not just from a, I'm just going to be ignorant, I'm going to be mean, or I'm just going to, have an attitude, I'm just going to play games. But a lot of times it comes from a certain place as a defense mechanism. It comes from a place of hurt, a place of pain. You know, maybe you've given your body, maybe you've given your heart and not really gotten anything back. So when you find yourself in a potentially heartbreaking situation, that guard goes up, that defense goes up, and then sometimes willingly, but oftentimes it ends up being an inadvertent game. You know, yeah, you end up playing games, but it's not intentional. It's just that you want to protect yourself, and that is, as you guys know from listening to the show, the epitome of emotional unavailability, which will ironically cause you to attract the men in which you do need to have a guard up. A lot of women will say, hold up, Dan, you say, don't be guarded, don't guard your heart, but, I'm attracting men who are specifically looking to, take advantage of me. So why would I not guard myself? And I say, well, that's the issue. It's like having a kitchen or a house, and you see mice running around. Well, you can go out and buy all types of traps. You know, that will solve an immediate problem. You might catch a few mice, but, the ultimate problem is you've got to clean your kitchen. You've got to find out what's attracting those mice. Playing sex games is not going to keep the men from coming. It may annoy some of the men who are currently targeting you for sex, but it's not going to stop them from coming, and it's not going to stop other men like them from coming. So tonight we're going to talk about not just what those games are, but a lot of the root causes and some of the ways to deal with the overall issue so you don't have to play the games and you don't even have to attract the men in which you feel like you need to play the games with. Any thoughts on that, Courtney?
No, I feel like you've said it all. I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. But I will say that I used to do that, just playing games. And you're right. Like when you said that, when you do have that guard up, you actually need to. You actually need to. So it's just important just to take preventative measures so that, you know, you don't get involved in that again.
Right. Yeah, it's deep. So we're going to get, a little bit deeper into that, a little bit more in depth with that topic. A lot of other things, as I mentioned, this just being an Ask Date On Advice edition of Keeping It Real Fridays, we're going to be talking about a lot of issues that you guys have expressed an interest in talking about, some interest, some debates, some conversations from the Friends of the Date On Tolbert Show group, some situations sent to me from Ask Date On at trctoday.com. That's where you guys can send out all of your situations. I've been getting a lot of even Facebook inboxes, people asking me to, touch on certain things, and we'll talk about them. But, just before we get too deep into it, I'd encourage anyone, if you're the recipient of games, if you're tired of dealing with somebody, take this opportunity just to, reach out, reach out to Courtney, reach out to myself, call that 855-55-DATE-ON, set up that free emotional availability assessment so we can not just give you an answer to, whatever it is you're going through now, but we can start the process of changing your life and laying the foundation of helping you get to where you want to be, going forward. All right. I also want to talk about tonight's scandal. Everybody seems to be talking about scandal. Oh, my God, scandal. Last night it came back. Da, da, da. I mean, look, guys, here's the thing. I want to talk about it from a couple of different perspectives, several different perspectives. I mean, you guys asked me to just, what'd you think about scandal? I mean, I don't really think too much about scandal. Young woman said, "Oh, you watch Scandal, don't you?" I'm like, well, "Duh, where have you been the last 3 years? I've done how many shows talking about, various issues discussed on Scandal?" A lot of people say, "Well, why do you watch it?" I said, "Well, I watch it because, as I mentioned all the time, I mean, it's a great teaching tool. I mean, the Olivia Pope is, in my opinion, the all-time greatest example of, an emotionally unavailable woman, the type of woman who will attract the type of men who this entire show is specifically designed to help black women avoid. And the irony with all of that is that she's so idolized and so looked up to. I saw a young woman earlier this afternoon on Facebook saying, Olivia Pope rocks. I'm like, what? I'm like, you don't see? No, Claire Huxtable rocked. The mom from Good Times rocked. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are not good examples. Being Mary Jane, Scandal. These are types of women who will, interestingly enough, attract men who basically want to play sex games with them. And so tonight we want to talk about, one of the reasons that these characters are so popular. One of the things I said online earlier on was, if Olivia Pope, if Kerry Washington's, if she played a character, or I should say if she was a white woman playing that character, the irony is that she would not be looked up to, she would not rock, in fact, she would be hated by black women all across the country. As a black woman, Courtney, would you say that that's a fact?
Yes, that's very accurate, and that's exactly what would happen. Yeah, they wouldn't watch it. They wouldn't, because you see how it is, like on Facebook, people talking about it. They're like, "Oh yeah, I got to get the girlfriends together, and we have our popcorn and wine, and it just turns into this like big event." But if she were white, they wouldn't even watch one episode. They really wouldn't.
Right, and it's not even, the funny thing is, I think that, I mean, definitely, because it would be a combination. They probably wouldn't even watch. But then what a lot of people have a tendency to do, just like with this show, you know, they may not necessarily like what's being said or want to hear what's being said, but they'll still listen. You know, they listen with their Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity sunglasses on. So I think that even those types of shows, you know, they will force themselves to watch, but just so they could hate it. You know, it's kind of one of those things that they love to hate. And so all I'm saying is, you know, don't discriminate. Don't like it just because she's black. And one of the real reasons, and if you guys missed our special, I posted the link from a few years ago where we talked about, you know, it was entitled The Real Reasons Why So Many Black Women Love Olivia Pope, is because so many women can relate to that behavior. You know, they can relate to the games. They can relate to the hurt, the emotional wall up, you know, being strung along, even the adulterous, you know, non-committal affair. You know, and the funny thing is, and people are rooting. I mean, look at Obama. If it was determined that Obama was having some type of affair with his press secretary or, you know, his public relations manager or whoever it was, you know, and Michelle was actually being cheated on, I mean, that people would not support that woman. You understand that? You guys would think that was not cool. You see what I'm saying? I mean, certainly if she was a white woman, you know what I mean? Like, all hell would break loose, in fact. So, I mean, the hypocrisy is just on a whole nother level, and we have to stop it, okay? One of the things that I also find interesting about Scandal is that, I mean, and we've talked about this, but I think it's, you know, just from the things that I saw last night. I mean, if you like the show, you like the show. I don't like to tell people, you know, what to like. I mean, I'm not in that business. You know, you like it, that's your prerogative. I'll talk about many of the reasons why people like it, but if you like it, you like it. But just say that you like it. You know what I mean? Like, don't get into this whole big thing about how great of a show it is, because that just sounds crazy. You know, I mean, seriously. And the reason why I say that is because, I mean, I've seen soap operas that are more entertaining than Scandal. Days of Our Lives has had storylines way better than Scandal. You know, but I'm not even talking about actual network TV dramas. You know, in fact, I was saying online earlier this afternoon, Revenge. I actually recently started watching that. And interestingly enough, that is a very entertaining show. You know, it has a lot of the, you know, the drama and the scandals and the, you know, the plot is, you know, it's very dramatic, you know, as is Scandal. But it's just a better acted show. It's a more well-written show. It's just an overall better show. And I seriously doubt, I'm confident that there's not a person who actually watches both shows and would say, wow, Scandal is better than, no, it's just not. And so I'm just saying, guys, you know, broaden your horizons. You know, when you look at shows like Alias and 24 and even The West Wing, I mean, there's so many other shows that still give you that drama and, you know, and entertainment and excitement, but they're just better. And they don't have a lot of that. Put it like this. It's not speaking volumes about who you are and you know, what maybe you're into, what you've experienced. And I know I may be stepping on some toes right now, but let's be honest. Typically, when people like things, it's because they can relate to those things. You know, and as I was saying, I mean, most people can relate on some level to being in an Olivia Pope type of situation. Have you, Courtney?
I'll be honest. I think, you know, if that show would have come out, you know, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I would have been like a diehard fan.
Why?
Because I can relate to that. You know, being with someone that I couldn't have, or, you know, someone that didn't want me but still wanting that love and wanting that affection and just settling. And so I think with that being said, you know, I would have been a very big fan. But at the same time, would have been too scared to truly admit the real reasons why I like the show.
Right. I watch a lot of these ringtones. You know, did you guys know, we talked about this maybe a couple of years ago, I think it was, I saw an article or a news story about Rihanna, and they were saying that she's like the all-time most popular digital, they call her like the digital queen or something, digital download queen of all time. Like she, her songs have been downloaded as like ringtones more than, you know, anybody else in, you know, in history. And, you know, I find that interesting, you know, because a lot of her songs have to do with, you know, just sex, have to do with, you know, cheating and getting your heart broken and, you know, all types of, you know, things that are obviously not of God. And so when you look at, like, all right, even Beyonce, you know, so many of these types of songs are being downloaded. When you make something your ringtone, typically it's because you can relate to it. It's because it represents something that's specifically going on in your life, either at that moment or historically. And so I'm just saying, guys, like, you know, Scandal and Beyonce, you know, these are all things that it's like you're really, they're very telling in regards to the people who enjoy these songs, these TV shows, you know, this drama. It's funny, you know, certain shows my wife and I will watch, and, you know, I might get up to go to the bathroom, get up to put some popcorn in the microwave, get some more food, get something to drink. I'm like, oh, hold on, pause that real quick, you know what I mean? Do a quick pause, and I go do what I got to do. I come back because I don't want to miss anything. I'm being honest with y'all, like, Scandal will be on, and I just go do what I got to do and come back. I think I did that yesterday, you know, what is it, Olivia Pope and Fitz were just arguing about something. I came back, like, they were just, like, I came back like 5 minutes later, they were just still having the same conversation about nothing. I'm just like, yo, what the heck? It's like, yo, I mean, have you been watching it, Courtney? Do you see, like, it's just full, it's just drunk, it's overacted, it's very contrived, it's just like some type of ridiculous love story that is so far-fetched, it doesn't even make sense anymore. I mean, it's not even believable. I mean, but that, I know you watched it at one point. Do you still watch it?
No, I haven't watched it at all this season. Not at all. The only time I did, I'll be honest, the only time I watched it was that one clip with her father when he was telling her about herself. But, I mean, I've looked on YouTube for that, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, guys, if you missed it, yeah, if you missed the show that we did at the beginning of this season on, I think the last time we really talked about the show was after the season premiere where Olivia Pope's father was telling her off. And we talked about the show, but more importantly, we took an in-depth look at what black fathers, what the role of black fathers in the community where, you know, that can, the actions and the behaviors that can often prevent black women from being treated the way Olivia Pope is being treated. Because if you notice, I mean, as we talk tonight about sex games and about, you know, games being played in and out of the bedroom, I mean, if you look at Olivia Pope, she is the perfect example of the type of woman who has played those types of emotional games, those types of sex games. But if you look at how her heart has been on an emotional roller coaster over the years, just, and I'm just talking about just the show, just from what we've seen, you know, on the show, and so how many women can relate to being in a relationship with a man who deep down they know, one, isn't good for them, will never lead, isn't the man that God has for them, will never lead to them having the life that they ultimately want. I mean, how many black women can relate to that, just that part of the storyline? How many women can relate to dealing with a man, having sex with a man who has no intention of committing to her on a serious level, but is giving her the indication, stringing her along like it's going to be something that it clearly will never be? Dealing with a man who you know your father can't stand, your father loves you, but you love a man who can't stand your father, and his father can't stand. And these are all situations that many women can relate to, you know, thousands, millions of women can relate to, in fact. You know, we talk about the sex games. I was watching it. I posted about it. You know, we talk about that. We joke about it on this show a lot, just playing what we call tug of war with the panties. You know about tug of war with the panties, Courtney. It's like, no, stop. No, don't touch me. No, what are you doing? Like, yo, come on. And that's the thing that Fitz and Olivia have going on. You know, I was watching, and she's like, he grabs her up. She's like, no, don't touch me. Now, come on. Let's be serious here. This is the same woman who last season is walking down the corridor of the White House, and Fitz grabs her out of nowhere, pulls her into the electric closet, bends her over, hikes up her dress, and bangs her back out real quick. You know what I'm saying? And now she has the audacity to say, "Don't touch me." Now, cool. I mean, let's just be serious, ladies. This is Keeping It Real Fridays. All right, we're going to talk about sex tonight, okay? You know, and obviously we all know what the word says. We know that you're not supposed to have sex. All fornication is bad. We know that. We get that. And that is 100% true. But let's be honest. There's a lot of sex going on out here. And the reality is, as a man, ladies, once you let a man smash, okay, you know, I'm not going to say that you can't change your mind and you can't say it's no longer the way it is. But you're going to have a pretty hard time convincing that man that you are serious after you let him, you know, be your friend with benefits, after you allow him to basically make you his jump off, make you his hoe, his Friday night freak, his sex toy, his booty call. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you say stop, it's not going to carry the same weight that it would if you actually respected yourself historically throughout the course of that, you know, we'll say relationship, but you guys know it's not a relationship. You know what I mean? When you say, stop, don't touch me, when you just got pulled into legend, it comes off as a game, ladies. If you're letting a man kiss on you and feel in your breast and suck on your nipples and, you know, and grind on you, and then all of a sudden you say, stop, that is going to, I'm not saying you can't, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. You can say whatever you want to say. But what I'm saying is, don't expect to be taken seriously, and don't expect that not to come off as a game. Don't expect you not to be viewed as a tease. Don't expect that man to not go into full throttle mode and continue trying to smash, and then once he smashes, to never call you again and to treat you even worse than he would have if you would have never allowed him to have sex anyway. A lot of women are saying, wow, why do you say that? One of the things you guys have to realize is that we as men absolutely hate a double-minded woman. We would rather you just not let us have sex with you at all than to make us jump through hoops to get the sex. See, society will tell us that Steve Harvey has told society that the timing, you know, the time that a woman makes a man wait will determine how respectable that woman is being viewed. And we talk about this on a regular basis. In fact, we did a whole show a couple months ago on the 90-day rule and how it's preposterous, that it has nothing to do with how long you make that man wait. It has to do with whether or not you respect your body. A lot of women don't understand. They say, well, look, I made him wait 3 months. I made him wait 90 days. Hey, I made him wait 2 weeks. I made him wait a year. A lot of women think that means something. The time you make a man it doesn't matter. It's, are you a hoe? Okay, it's, are you a freak? Are you having sex? Or are you celibate? Or are you a true woman of God? Are you a virtuous woman? Those are the only things that actually matter. If you're not a true woman of God, but you're still willing to allow him smash, whether it be after 90 days, 6 months, you're still going to be viewed the same way. He's not going to take you seriously. What are your thoughts about that from a woman's standpoint, Courtney?
I think sometimes a lot of times we just feel like, the 90 days, it's a lengthy period of time, because in some of our heads, it's like we say, well, that's better than, having sex with that person right away, at least. And so many women think this, that after 3 months, they'll be able to tell what kind of man they're dealing with and how they're being viewed by that man after 3 months. You know, a lot of us feel like, I don't know why we do this, but we feel like we just have everything under control. We have the dating situation under control. We can spot a player a mile away, and no one's going to be able to hurt us. And so after 3 months, if everything checks out, if he's doing all the right things and saying all the right things, then that means that he's the one. And then, unfortunately, a lot of us find out the hard way after we have sex with that man, and all of a sudden he's playing games, and now we don't know who we're dealing with. So,
right.
Yeah.
a lot of times women will look at it as if they got, quote unquote, dogged, or as if he's acting different. Well, the irony in that is that, nah, he's not acting different. It's just that he's allowing his true colors to be shown. You know, when a man is truly interested in you, ladies, sex will be not really nowhere on the radar. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even going to be a big deal. That's the interesting thing that most women don't really realize, because they're so used to, they've been so conditioned to deal with, you know, a man jumping their bones after the first date, you know, going out to dinner and then, you know, trying to get back to the crib after that first date, if there's a first date at all, trying to get to the crib because they don't want to spend that, you know, an additional $50, an additional $100. You know, they already put in their, you know, that one bid. It's like, all right, look, I've spent my money. Look, I'm trying to get what I got to get. So they're so used to that. And it's like, well, you know, how do I avoid that? So they start coming up with alternatives to avoid being targeted for sex, and thinking like, all right, well, I'm going to make him wait. You know, the men that I've dated in my past, you know, I end up sleeping on the first date. Well, that didn't have a good result. So let me try something different. Ladies, that's not, ironically, you know, women will have got, you know, they'll get dogged, and instead of saying, all right, let me, yeah, I mean, on one hand, yeah, you want to try something different, but the solution is not, you know, waiting longer than you waited before. It's actually just, hey, wow, I've had sex with every guy that's dogged me. I've had sex with every guy that's broken my heart. Wait, let me actually just not have sex with this guy. And I think as a society, you know, we've become so conditioned to think that sex automatically has to be part of the dating situation. You know, sex has to be a prerequisite for being taken seriously, for being viewed as his future wife. Because let's be honest, isn't that what all women want? You know, they want to be a wife one day. So when they're dealing with a man who they view to be special or have the potential to be, you know, be the one, they say, wow, well, I've got to give it to him. It's just a matter of when I'm going to give it to him. He's going to want it. And a lot of times it has to do with not really viewing yourself in the best manner to say, wait a minute, I'm better than that. I don't have to have sex with him. He actually will want me just for me, not because of how I can please him sexually. And that's what the role these fathers have to do. They have to play a bigger role and do their jobs as men, and to tell these little girls, like, look, you don't have to give up your body. You're beautiful at 5 years old, before you're even thinking about sex, before you even know what sex is. These little girls need to understand that they're loved. They need to understand that they're special, you know, and worthy of respect and deserving of respect. I'm not talking about at 25. I'm talking about at 5. I'm talking about at 3 years old. These kids growing, and now, this is no disrespect. I mean, some of y'all are doing the best that you can with what you got. You're playing the hand that you're dealt. You know, there's not that father around, but I don't care what the situation is. One way or another, these little kids need to know that they should respect themselves. How the heck are these little kids going to know that they're special if their mom is twerking, you know, in the bathroom to Beyonce, you know, with these partition, drunk in love? I mean, you know what I'm saying? These little girls grow up watching mommy getting smashed off on Friday night after you think that they're asleep. They know what's going on. They're not stupid. They know you got company. They know that's not daddy. They know that's not... You know what I'm saying? Like, they know what it is. They know you're a jump off. These kids nowadays, they know what it is. Younger and younger. So the same games, the same disrespect that they're seeing mommy experiencing from whatever guy they're dealing with that week, that's how they're going to grow up, you know, year after year after year, seeing this. That combined with seeing mom, you know, being, you know, the jump off year after year, and, you know, on top of having to hear mommy bashing daddy and talk about how much of a deadbeat he is, and, you know, seeing all these other men that their friends and their moms are going through the same situation. It's like, well, dang, I mean, how special can I really be? You know, if it was okay for mommy to be jumped off on a Friday night, what, you know, why should I feel like, you know, I'm better than that? I mean, I love my mom. I respect my mom. I mean, it's good enough for her. It's got to be good enough for me. You know, and see, this is the problem that we have in society. No one is talking about the real issues, the root causes, the deadbeat dads. A lot of people say, oh, you know, let's talk about the men. Let's talk about what these men are doing. Well, why? I mean, everybody wants to talk about deadbeat dads, but who's having sex with the deadbeat dads? How do you even get into a situation to deal with the deadbeat dad? A lot of it has to do with the sex games. You played a certain level of games with a man that frustrated him so much. He said, look, I'm just going to hit this one good time, and I'm not even going to, I just want to get this sex so bad because she pissed me off so much. She got me so horny she made me wait this long. I'm just going to hit this. I'm not going to use a condom. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to get it one good time, bust all up in her, and then roll out. They're not thinking about, and I'm not justifying, I'm just explaining it. They're not even thinking about the consequence. They're just like, yo, she got me, you know, to that point. I just want to, you know, excuse my language, get this nut off and keep it moving, to be honest with you. And I'm just telling y'all, ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. So trust me, when you're thinking about making him wait, but in the meantime, you're hyping him up and making him jump through hoops, not understanding that all that's building up his frustration, then all of a sudden he's going to do any and everything. He's going to say whatever he has to say, do whatever he has to do, just to get it. And then, you know, next thing you know, 9 months later, you're part of the statistic. 70% of black babies are born into single-parent homes. I wonder why. It's a lot of sex games going on out here. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you were saying, it was just, it was hitting home for me because, I mean, that's something I can relate to. I mean, I was never, you know, a baby was never the result of my games, but I did the same thing. Like, I wanted men to chase after me, and I had this guy wait 2 years before I had sex with him and had him go and jump through all of these hoops and all of that stuff, and I felt like when I finally gave it to him, I felt like, well, that was a reward, and after that he was going to treat me right, and, you know, and I thought that I would be respected because I held out for that period of time, not knowing that I was really being, you know, set up to be dogged. It made sense how or why things happened the way that they did because, you know, I played so many games, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to look at me and view me as someone special. But meanwhile, I'm dressing like a hoe, acting like a hoe, doing everything but having sex, and then wondering why he dogs me.
Right. Back in the day, I just remember the story back in the day, like we used to have little competitions. I mean, this is what people did when they were young and dumb and immature. You know, there were certain women that we'd be dealing with or whatever. And, I mean, there was no respect for any of these women, to be honest with you. You know, and so what would happen is the ladies would be, you know, wearing their shirt. I went to Catholic school. They would, you know, hike their skirts up. Like, they would have the skirt, but then they'd roll it up. You know what I'm saying? Ridiculous stuff. You know, they would even make their skirts so purposely short that they would wear shorts underneath just wear a regular skirt. You won't have to worry about that. But anyway, some people were saying, well, how do you know that they had on shorts? They not, well, hey, you know what I'm saying? I keep it real. It's keeping it on Fridays, right? You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. And that's before they had elevators. So enough of that. But I'm just being honest with you. Hey, look, guys, this is what it is, man. No need to front about it now. You know, but anyway, we would actually tell stories. Say, you know, oh, what's up with so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go see her tonight. Like, oh, for real? Cool, let me know how it goes. Boom, so next day, yeah, what's up? How did it go? Oh, yeah, I went over there. It's like, okay, cool, did you smash? Nah, she was tripping, man. She just let me grind on her. It's like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, but funny thing, it wasn't like, what? It was like, oh, okay, for, because that's just what it was. You see, a lot of women listen, like, whoa, like, that's kind of odd. Like, why would they just do that? Well, that's the time that I grew up in. And that was, I graduated high school in 96. You know, that wasn't that long ago. But the culture at that time, there, it, believe it or not, it wasn't, sex was not as nearly as readily accessible as it is today. You know what I'm saying? It was like, that was expected. You know, you got to third base. You know, if you got to third base, if you got to second base on a, you know, on a date with a girl that you were dealing with, it was like, okay, cool, you're making progress. That's what's up. You got your grind on. That was like something substantial back in the day. You know, women weren't letting you smash like that. Most women did grow up at that time that I knew in a two-parent household. It was like, you know, most people had to, you know, if you did chill with somebody, it was like you actually had to sneak them into the house because their parents were not allowing, you know, company of the opposite sex. Nowadays, it's just like, oh, hey, yo, do you. You know, mom is out wherever she's out. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, hey, mom, this is so-and-so. We're going to go watch some TV. Like, okay, y'all want something to eat? Take out the trash. Like, you see what I'm saying? That's what we. That's the world that we live in. Parents have stopped being parents. You know, the lessons that were taught to the kids growing up about respecting themselves and you know, not just respecting themselves, but just protecting themselves, being smart. Nowadays, you got moms buying their daughters birth control pills and other forms of contraception and, you know, Plan B and paying for the abortion themselves. It's like, yo, where is the accountability? Where is the respectability? 16 million abortions. It's about time for our special, part two of our all-time classic special on abortions in the black community. We did that special at least maybe, what, 2-3 years ago. It's about time to for the 2014 version of that. Back when I did this show, there had been 16 million abortions from black women, just from black women, since like 1975. You know, and I can only imagine what that number has skyrocketed to in 2014. You know, and we really have to do something. That's the number one leading cause of death in the black community is abortion. That's a travesty. It's a disgrace. It's, abortion is not, you know, a form of contraception. I'm not. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care how many socialites, political activists, whoever, you know, makes excuses. None of that stuff matters in God's eyes. Abortion is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. You know, lesbianism is a sin. We talked the other night about happy and how that's a synonym for just being gay. And it's like, you know, code word for everybody. Let's just be gay. Let's just be happy. Wow, that's the number one song in the country right now. I mean, there's so much stuff going on that we as a society have become, that has become socially acceptable and politically acceptable. And it's important to make the clear distinction that it's not about being socially or politically accepted. It's about being morally and spiritually acceptable. Okay, why is there such a discrepancy with what God says, Courtney, versus what, let's say, Obama says, for example? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Courtney.
Oh, I was just saying, because people, they want to fit in, and they want to be felt, you know, comfortable with living in sin. And so, you know, being morally correct would mean that you would be outside of the norm or what's popular. That means that, you know, because in the Bible it says that we are peculiar people, meaning we're not supposed to fit in. But everybody wants to live this like, you know, like it's one big party and not have any accountability, just to fit in with everybody else.
Right. And it's not about fitting in. That's what I think a lot of people are, you know, one of the reasons why women are having a lot of sex, why men are having a lot of sex. There's a lot of peer pressure going on. There's a lot of social acceptability surrounding sex, whereas before it was viewed as more of a something that was more taboo. But, yeah, let's keep it moving. This, before we get off a scandal, I was posted on Facebook that, I mean, I want you guys to realize that they're talking more about it. This whole B613, like, it's interesting that people will see certain things, you know, played out in a fictional way, but then just leave it there as if that's what it is. It's just fiction. And all of this stuff actually exists. You know, all the secret organizations, the stuff with the CIA, the FBI, and then, out, you know, covert, you know, sections of the government that technically don't even really exist, but actually have all types of power and all types of intelligence on everything that really goes on in the country and really is in control of what actually happens in the country. These are all things that actually happen, guys. You know, these are things that already are in place and have been in place, and the evidence is there of that, but it's just, you know, about opening your eyes, doing some research and understanding, you know, that is what it is. You know, it's funny, people will look at shows like that and see stuff in movies and just assume like it doesn't actually happen that way, when in reality, not all of it, but a lot of it is actually the case. It is actually true. Courtney, when you see stuff like that, like, well, you were one of those people at one point that actually thought that the president actually had and actually was the most powerful person in the world?
Yes. For the longest. I mean, I know that's very ignorant to say or, you know, think, but that's what I used to think. Like, I didn't know that there were people above the president, above him, telling him what to do, and basically, you know, he was a puppet. He was their puppet. I never made that connection. I just thought, you know, the president had all of this power and, you know, to make all of these decisions and, you know, things like that. Yeah,
I mean, not to get too deep into it, you know, but yeah, the president is just a, for lack of a better term, a pawn, you know, that is, it's the office of the presidency, which is owned, you know, it can actually be bought, you know, and is bought every election. And so, you know, once, for people who are unfamiliar, once, you know, you'd make a decision that you're going to run, you're going to do these fundraisers, that money is not free. You know, these super PACs that are formed to finance the campaigns, these are all, that's one of the reasons why they make, like, next election time, you know, take note of when they talk about the super PACs. Well, super PACs, there was a new law that was made that, where they don't actually have to reveal, you know, who they are. So we never actually know, you know, who is financing, you know, the campaigns of these well, one of the main reasons, and that's all for specific reasons. I don't want to get too deep on you or too complicated for tonight, but a lot of times because it's all one big joke. It's a lot of the same people giving money to the same people. It's all one big show. You know what I mean? It's all like, it's all fake. It's all predetermined. It's all, you know, it's just already decided what the outcome is going to be, but they've got to go through the motions. That's one of the reasons why, you know, you don't really know what's going on. You just see what you see on CNN, and you know, which is controlled by the same people who are financing the campaign. So it's all controlled, but yeah. But I say all that to say, watch some of these shows, because these people have become so arrogant, and I see a lot of it now, that they are putting, you know, exactly what's going on. There is a lot of the agenda being put literally right into these storylines in shows like The Blacklist. You know, I watch that every week. That's one of the shows we watch. I mean, you see so much stuff. Like, look, if you guys watch The Blacklist, what's one of the main plots? Syria, Russia, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big part of their... you know, their storyline with The Blacklist, very interesting. There's a guy on the first episode of The Blacklist, you saw a guy getting what will be basically known as the Mark of the Beast, getting a chip inserted inside him. You know what I'm saying? It's like all types of stuff. You know, a lot of these movies, but yeah, it's deep. Real quick, and I don't even want to dwell on it, but I mentioned it the other night, and I'm going to continue to mention it. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think we all know what's going on. All this tension with Russia. Courtney, you sat here with me about a year ago. We both said, we talked about it. I mean, we predicted it. You know, this time last year, we said in about a year, within the next 2 years, we're going to be knocking on the door of going to war with Russia. Look what's going on right now. Is it any surprise?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because there's people making money off of this. You know, this is, you know, a lot of people are profiting off of this. So, you know, something like this is going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, continue. I would say this. Just like I said earlier, or early in the week when we were last live on, I think, Monday, Google this special. Check it out. The special we did on the Boston bombings where we literally walked you through exactly why we're going to war with Russia, what the goal of it is, how we're trying to get to North Korea, who North Korea's main ally is, which is Russia. The only way that you're going to get to North Korea is by taking out, isolating Russia, and, you know, so that we can just have us and all our allies go to war with North Korea and just kind of take them over. That's really what the whole goal is, just in short. No one is going to tell you that. They're not going to be able to say that, but, you know, that's the goal. That's the, you know, North Korea only has Russia really as an ally. You know what I'm saying? That's their major ally. So once you neutralize Russia, you know, we have a clear path to just kind of do what we need to do to take over North Korea and kind of have that whole region, you know. But it's obviously not going to be that simple, and which is ultimately going to result in World War III and most likely the end of the world from a nuclear perspective. But I hate to, you know, I'm just saying, that's basically what's going to happen. But we've got some time before that happens, hopefully, you know, because I've got some more shows to do before before the end of the world. But this is Keeping It Real Fridays. So this is Ask Dadon Advice Hour. We're talking about topics you guys have expressed an interest in discussing on this evening. The topic at hand, sex games. You know, games being played in and out of the bedroom. One of the things I did want to touch on, I mean, listen guys, drunken love. You know, we did the whole show on it. We've talked about it. We talked about it in great detail the other night in regards to watermelon and, you know, surf boy, like all that crap, what it really means, you know, why so many women love that, you know, quoting that song, you know, we know what that is. But one of the things that I added to that was that when you go to the club, ladies, getting drunk, you know, grinding on somebody, letting them, you know, cup the bottom portion of your breast as he's, you know, grinding on you from behind, you know, palming, you know, the butt cheeks, caressing your thigh. You know what I'm saying? You guys know all of that. You know what I mean? Like how it's done. I've done it, you know, myself all throughout my 20s and things like that. I mean, I get it. I understand it. You know, it's fun, whatever. But, you know, having the drinks, room spinning while you're on the dance. I mean, you know, I've been there, done that. But one of the things that I said that, yes, I understand Beyonce's attempt and what the goal is for that song is to put people into a sexual mind state, you know, under the guise, you know, of, oh, no, this is okay because we're married. But it has nothing to do with her being married. It has to do with the goal and the audience, which she realizes is largely non-married. And so what I'm trying to tell y'all is that, you know, going to the club, getting drunk, having sex, these are things that do not constitute drunken love. There's nothing loving about what she's describing in these songs. You know, having a man ejaculate in your mouth, all over your face, that's not love. That's things that men do to a woman they could literally give a damn about. You know, just to be honest with you guys. I mean, and the men, like real men, you know, we talk about that stuff. You know, I'm just being, see, I don't want to be too graphic, but because it's Keeping It Real Fridays, you guys have to understand what's happening out here. You guys realize that even though this woman, you know, people are now talking about, you know, and glorifying oral sex and, you know, slurping semen. These are things that men like myself, other men, real men who've actually been out there and lived the player lifestyle, these are things we've actually done, but done to hoes. You understand that? Nobody treats a woman that they love that way, okay? Nobody deals with a woman that they care about and says, driver, put up the partition, please, I don't want you seeing Beyonce on her knees. Like, these are things that, I mean, I'm not going to get too graphic, but you don't treat your wife like a hoe is what I'm saying to you. okay? You don't Monica Lewinsky on your a woman that you love. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that even mean? Well, I think we know what that means. But who says that? I mean, Courtney, I'm just asking you. Did you hear that? Like, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. There's probably very few things that I have not experienced. But I've never, I'll be honest with you, I'm talking about, like I said, ever. I've never heard a woman talk like that. You know what I'm saying? I've never even heard a woman, you know, disrespect herself. And this is really saying a lot, because I've seen some hoes. I've known some hoes. I know some hoes. But I've never even seen the biggest hoes, and I know I said this the other night, but I would never expect to hear a woman say, he Monica Lewinsky'd all over my blouse. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. Have you, Courtney?
No, that's on another level. It really is. Because, you know, I've heard, like, you know, other women talk about sex and stuff like that, but not like that. Not on that level, not on watermelon, all of that crap. I haven't heard it.
I've never heard that. And even when I think about it in this moment, I'm like, wow, did she really say that? Like, is this a mother? Like, this woman has a child talking about he Monica Lewinsky'd all over me? Like, that's just crazy to me. Like, for example, I think I was telling you guys maybe a couple months ago, there's a sex tape with the chick, Shay, from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, like Bucky from Flavor of Love. And she has a sex tape, you know, and they actually showed a dude, you know, ejaculating all over her face. And she's like, oh, yeah, you nutted all over me, like, blah, blah. Like, and she was just clearly disrespecting herself. But that was, like, in an actual porno. Like, that was an actual sex tape that she made. You see what I'm saying? She was actually a hoe, and you know what I'm saying? But this is Beyonce. This is someone who the president calls the most respectable and classy role model for his two young daughters, talking about the same thing that an actual porn star is talking about in a porno. it's actually so ridiculous that it's funny. That's how funny it is that people are, you know, they live in the, you know, in a society and in a state of mind that allows them to be able to mentally justify the most ridiculous of ridiculous behavior. So one of the things that I said online was, and this will be featured in my new book coming out, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days or Less, coming out this summer. Definitely look out for it. I said that sex and intimacy are two very different things and don't always translate into love. Don't mistake, you know, somebody talking or using the term love. Because as we talk about sex games, yeah, there's a lot of sex going on, but there's a lot of references to love. And so you guys got to realize that's the ultimate form of blasphemy, because God is love. So when you talk about love in the same context of the most hoish and whorish behavior, that's blatant disrespect to God. But they already knew that. Like, that's their intent. That's Beyonce and Jay-Z's intent. You understand? But I'm just saying, don't allow people to use love when talking about just getting some quick sex. Like, for example, you look at a song like Love in This Club, you know, with Usher. I mean, that was a very popular song when it came out. Why? Because people actually do that. You know, like, people actually go to clubs with their girlfriends, with their freakum dresses on, and they actually have sex in the bathrooms with people they just met. Like, this actually happens. You know, like, I've done it. I've seen it happen. Like, I'm just, you know, it's Keeping It Real Friday. This is no need to front about it. This is very common practice in today's society. Right? I mean, women, just like yourselves, going out with their girlfriends, getting their grind on, getting turned on, the dude being like, yo, take this walk with me, whether it's going out to the car, going into the bathroom, they're experiencing love in the club. They're actually having sex in the VIP booth. Usher said it right there. He said, don't be ashamed of some girl, they don't know what we're doing. So you're basically having sex on the low in the club in front of people with a stranger. don't mistake getting smashed off in the club for love. Just because you're drunk and you're having sex, it doesn't equate to drunken love. Okay, see, what are your thoughts on it? Was that something that you can relate to from back in the day as far as looking at sex and equating it with love?
Yeah, I would. I would look at that as love, you know, just simply because, you know, how the guy was during sex, if he was holding me or anything, I would just mistake that for, you know, oh, he really, he cares about me and, you know, all of that stuff. And I would, and then also I was in those situations where I was basically a glorified jump off too. So, like, I had, you know, confused that for being love. And those songs that come out like that, Love in This Club and Drunken Love, it keeps people in those situations. It just really perpetuates the, you know, the fantasies that we create in our head about, you know, what's going on, what our situation is. We want to pretend it's, you know, something different. So.
Right. It's deep. You know, shout out to Kiani. She actually posted a scripture that speaks to a lot of this stuff. I mean, it definitely can be taken a number of different ways. But this is the scripture over in Nahum 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle." And interestingly enough, and again, that's Nahum 3, 5 through 6. You guys know how I love the book of Ezekiel because of the realness of the word in regards to how God views sex and women who exhibit, you know, whorish behavior. But, you know, and Nahum is another great example of just the contempt that God has for not just lewdness, you know, and promiscuity, but people who idolize and even look at that type of behavior in any form of favorable manner. Okay, these are not things that God likes. These are not things that people should look at. Like when you see Olivia Pope getting some sex in the electrical closet, you shouldn't look at that and lust after, you know, and wish that that was you getting smashed up. You shouldn't look at it and say, "Wow, I did certain things back in my college days," and look back on those things with fondness. You know, you should not do those things because that's one, that's a sin, and it's something that is, you know, it's displeasing to God. You know, and so I think that when a lot of people, when you look at, you know, the state of your life, and when you say, "Wow, you know what, I haven't really achieved the level of success, the level of love, relationship-wise, that I hope to achieve, well, what am I doing wrong?" Well, you have to look at, well, yeah, you're single on a Saturday night, single on a Friday night, but how are you spending those Friday nights? Are you spending it at Bible study, you know, or are you at home lusting after a life that God is trying to call you out of? Yeah, you might not be, you know, succumbing to the temptation to go get, you know, some sex. You might just be chilling. You might just wash your hair. But are you watching Being Mary Jane? You know what I'm saying? Are you wishing that that was you? And what you have to realize is that for all that, you might as well go and be Mary Jane. You might as well go to the club and get drunk in love. You might as well have some love in the club, because what the word says is that as soon as you lust, you've already committed adultery. And if you look at what the word says about adultery, interestingly enough, is the same as murder in God's eyes. So a lot of people don't realize that lusting after fits, lusting after, what is the dude? The black dude from... what's his name, Courtney? I know you know, Courtney. What's his name? Being Mary Jane.
No, I don't.
Oh, what's his name, Courtney? Come on.
No, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Courtney. The dude, the black actor from Being Mary Jane. What is his name?
Amari Hardwick.
Amari Hardwick. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Lusting after these guys, that is not going to bode well for God blessing you with love. And I think that's the disconnect. That's what people aren't really seeing out here. All right. Let's keep it moving, though. I was watching I've been watching a couple things, watching a lot of stuff. But I was watching my Facebook timeline just to switch it up a little bit, because I want to do a couple of advice questions also. But I was watching Facebook, and it's very interesting. Because these are people who forget going to church, forget even church, but just, and I don't judge any, but it's hard, it's right there on my news feed. Like, I can't not see it. Like, I log in, it's like, bam, right there. So you kind of see what people put out there into the world, into the universe. It's like, boom, this is what you're doing with your life, and then all of a sudden you want to give up something for Lent? You're talking about Lent. One, you're not even Catholic, okay? You're not Catholic. It's a Catholic holiday. You know, so if you're not Catholic, you shouldn't be talking about Lent. That's the first thing. But that's neither here nor there. But aside from that, let me just explain a little something. See, fasting, we all struggle with sin. We're all sinners. Okay, so when you fast, the root of fasting, the origin of fasting is really to, without getting too detailed, you know, is to kill the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh causes us to sin. So the way that you get out of that, the way that you help avoid that being, you know, succumbing to sin, is actually by killing the flesh. When you don't feed the body, your flesh is going to be eaten up, basically. Like, if you don't eat, that's why you lose weight. You don't just lose weight, though. You're losing muscles. You're losing muscle. That's why you don't, when you want to lose weight, you don't not eat. In fact, you actually eat more. You just eat more of the good things. That's going to speed up your metabolism, and then you'll burn the fat faster, but you'll keep your muscle. That's how you get that lean tone look as opposed to that sickly look. Go smoke some crack. You'll lose weight. You know, you lose flesh, but you also lose muscle. That's why you look frail. When you do it the right way, it's all good. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, the whole point of fasting is to kill the flesh so that you'll be closer to God and you'll be less susceptible to sin and falling victim to sin. So, and I'm not, this is no disrespect to the Catholic faith or anything like that, although I do have issues with it, many issues with it that specifically contradict what the Word of God says as we know it in the Bible, but you know, for people to say, oh, I'm just going to give up this and I'm going to give up that. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it because that's what you want to make a statement. You're clearly making an attempt to get closer to God, to rectify your relationship with God. And so when you do that, when it's genuine, it's not going to just be about Lent. It's just going to be about you and what you're looking to do with your life. Don't just make Lent something, you know, cool, or, oh, okay, yeah, Facebook, this is that time of year, Easter's coming up. You're not even reflecting on the fact that, wow, this is the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Jesus Christ died for my sins, and he was beaten and stabbed and kicked and beaten and spit on, you know, specifically for my sins. I'm going to reflect on that. I'm just going to give up being Mary Jane for Lent. What the heck is that going to do? What the heck is going to give, I mean, you're just going to give up something for Lent and then what, go right back to it after Lent? What the heck is that? God doesn't care about that. He knows your heart. He knows when you're doing it for him versus when you're doing it for Facebook, for show on Facebook. Why are you even putting it on Facebook? If I give up something, if I say, look, I'm struggling with something, you know, I struggle with sin, so I'm going to stop sinning. Not just for Lent, not just to show my Facebook friends that whatever, but because I want to do it for God. You don't have to tell the world. You don't have to broadcast it. What's up with that, Courtney? I'm sure you see do you see that type of stuff on your Facebook?
Yeah, I see it all the time. You know, people just want to, they're so concerned about what think, and so they want to make a statement, and because they want to be viewed favorably by people. And so, but I participated in Lent before, and I gave up some things for
what'd you give up?
Those 40 days porn. But then went right back to it when it was over. So ridiculous. But yeah. And I caught myself doing something.
Right. You know, I mean, this is the thing, like, and that's real. Courtney and I did a classic show. One of the first shows Courtney and I did together was a show on porn addiction. You know, guys, check that out. You know, you can probably Google it, check out porn on the data. And so, I mean, because when you Google it anyway, you're going to just don't just Google porn, but just actually type in, like, the Data on Tolbert show and actually listen to the show. Not, okay, yeah, I'll leave that alone. But you see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about just when you're searching, looking for stuff, you know, typing porn. People be Googling porn, black porn, teen porn, you know. You know, nowadays, funny thing, I was in a barbershop. Tell a funny story. I was in a barbershop like 2 weeks ago, and the dude comes in with these, he has some DVDs and stuff. And, you know, they're bootlegs, but he has some nice bootlegs. I mean, these aren't even the bootlegs. These are like the, you know, like the, what do you call them? The promotional movies. Like, it was the actual movie, but, you know, he was selling them like they were bootlegs or whatever. So, you know, so he was just, I was looking at him, whatever, seeing if he had anything that I wanted to see. And he was like, what did he say? He was like, look, now, I actually got some old, he said, I'm old school with it. I got some adult stuff, too. I was like, oh, I'm not really into that. But, you know, it was funny the way he presented it. He was like, look, I know the internet got everybody, you know, just Googling stuff. But I'm old school. I got stuff right. So, yeah, guys, just type in. You know, seriously, that was a good show, though. Check it out. Porn and how to overcome addiction, porn addiction, how God views it. You remember, it was like, what, a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, it was a really good show because it was, you know, it was a different spin on it. It's not what people thought it was going to be. So we talked about the real reasons and deep reasons that people watch it. And I shared some things about myself, the reasons I used to watch it.
Right, right. It's deep. You know, and so many people, I mean, actually watch it. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you see a lot of women. And the reason why I'm not picking on the women, but I say women because you hear more about women. Like a good example of that, what's the chick's name? Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia. You know, and they were asking her, like, oh, you know, what you doing or whatever, now that you're not, you know, you got to go get you some. Da-da. She's like, oh, no, Portia takes care of Portia, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'd get mine. I please myself. And it's just like, whoa, you know, let a man start talking like that. You know, people look at him like he's crazy. Like, I got to go take care of myself. At like, what? Like, men don't talk like that. You know what I'm saying? You would laugh. But you see what I'm saying? Like, even like if Courtney, she, you know, was just saying how she used to watch porn. If I was like, oh, yeah, I used to watch porn, da-da-da-da, y'all be looking at me like I was crazy. And so it's become socially acceptable for women to masturbate. I mean, just look at Candy from Housewives. I mean, what is it, Bedroom Candy and all this other stuff. Women sitting around talking about what kind of dildos they use to this and that. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is all behavior that is indicative of women who have very low self-esteem and women who are going to be targeted for sex. What kind of man wants a woman who talks about sex publicly? Nobody wants that. That's not what we find appealing. Ladies, you have to understand that. Respect, go on my wife's timeline. You're not going to see any posts about sex. Any post, like all this crazy stuff that we see on your, you know, you might see on your Facebook timeline, like that's stuff that's going to be absent from respectable women. And unfortunately, it's like a lot of women have just given up. They just said, the heck with it. I fought the good fight, but I'm just going to embrace being a hoe. I'm just going to embrace being a freak, and this is just what it is. And man, you know, God, men's just going to have to love me for me. It's like, what? What are you even talking about? So I guess the point with that is just, you know, if you're going to give up something, then just give it up. But it doesn't need to be a show. Don't make it a whole big thing, you know, and just leave it at that. What else? One of the things that I said online was, when you're dating someone, you know, I think, you know, when you would be very much so, it would be in your best interest to just take sex off the table and not even make it a possibility or even a thought in your mind. Because a lot of times what happens is it's not so much the man pushing up. Because we talk about the sex games, but, you know, and the man will, you know, he'll go all out. He'll try to play the tug of war with the panties, give you the massage and, you know, all that good stuff, kissing on your neck, this and that, trying to get you into the mood. But a lot of times it's the built-up porn addiction. It's the built-up, you know, fantasizing about that life. And then when that life, when the fantasy on one Friday night becomes the reality because you actually have a man right there in your living room, it's like, why, you know, I'm going to get it in with myself later on anyway. Why not just, you know, do the real thing? That's really what happens. I mean, Courtney, I mean, most of them won't tell you that, but nobody says, like, well, dang, I've been having all this sex with myself for the last 5-6 months, I've been ever since my last breakup, right? So why not just go ahead and have the real thing? And then there you go. But then it becomes easier to blame it on the man after the woman acts out the fantasy that she's been having in her mind over the last several months anyway. So when the man does the same thing, he's a bad guy, though, because he wanted the same thing that she really wanted. She wants to be the victim, you know? She wanted the fantasy, but wanted the fantasy to turn into some type of reality. And when it didn't happen, it's, you raped me. Or it's, you dogged me. You took advantage of me. These are all forms of games. No one took advantage. We're not talking about rapists here. We're talking about casual, in most cases, casual consensual sex. You ever had those thoughts, not necessarily beforehand, but I'm talking about after the sex, Courtney?
What, feeling like I was taken advantage of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I felt taken advantage of. I was playing the victim role, you know, and just saying, oh, you know, I'm a good woman. I shouldn't have been treated like this. But as you were saying before, I was doing things specifically that brought me into that situation and caused me to attract that type of man. You know, beforehand, I was watching porn. As I say, that, you know, in the previous shows when we did on porn addiction, I had been watching it since I was a child. So think about all of those years watching it and just lusting and all of that stuff and actually finding myself in a situation with a man. Like, I really couldn't blame myself because, I mean, it was already in my head. Like, I had already made the decision to do that before I even met the man because I had just been doing those things. And so we have to, as women, we have to take accountability and say, you know what, it's not their fault entirely. You know, there were some things that I did, and this is what I can do differently next time.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I'm not talking about differently, like, let me do it differently sexually. A lot of women think, well, I didn't do this, or maybe I should have done this. No, it has nothing to do with how good or bad the sex was. A lot of women, when I try to tell them through private counseling, I say, well, look, you know men actually don't want to have sex with you, right? They say, well, you could have fooled me. Then. I mean, well, that's the thing. Yeah, men will do it. Just like I tell you guys all the time, I have a dog. If I give my dog some chocolate, well, he's going to eat it. Anyone who knows anything about dogs know that dogs can't have chocolate. But even though he can't have the chocolate, doesn't mean he's not going to eat it if I give it to him, if I put it right in front of him. So, yeah, if the sex is there, if you're, you know, got the tights on, nothing covering up, you know, the booty, thong on, you know, tight shirt, you know, breasts out. I mean, I don't care how Christian of a man he is, you know what I'm saying, or how good of a guy he seems, whatever. I mean, we're at the end of the day, we're men. And that's one of the reasons why you have to, you know, you have to be strong. You know, a lot of times people look at Christianity as if it's some type of bulletproof vest that makes you immune from certain thoughts and certain behaviors, when in reality it heightens many of those things. Because when you are trying to live for Christ, when you are passionate about God, you know, on Facebook, going to church, that's when the enemy feels intimidated, and then he tries to bring you back into the world even stronger. you're going to be attacked. Listen to what I'm saying. You're going to be attacked more when you live for God than when you are not living for God. But then again, you guys most likely already know that, though. That's what it happens. The sex is going to be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there were more Christians that watch porn, you know, than non-Christians, to be honest with you. And so, I mean, it's deep, you know, and I, you know, from just from personal experience, you know, Christian women have been some of the biggest freaks that I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, just to be honest, that's not even, you know, but then again, any man will tell you that. You know, go hit up Marv, go, you know, James, like all the guys, you know, barbershop crew. They'll all tell you. And I'm just telling you that there's a reason for that. Courtney, if I asked you, what do you think is one of our biggest, you know, as men, men's biggest fears or turnoffs in dating and relationships, what do you think it would be just from a sexual standpoint?
Oh, that's a good question. A woman that has sex before marriage?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, here's the thing. I mean, exactly. But, I mean, a little bit more specific, though, not just a woman who has sex before marriage, because that is, I mean, to be honest with you, that's very likely. I mean, how many people actually wait? Not saying it's impossible, not saying it shouldn't be done, but in today's society, it is very unlikely. But I think what's our biggest fear as Christian men is dealing with a woman who is a super undercover closet freak. Listen to what I'm saying to you guys. We as men have, you know, we've dealt with a lot of women before. And so most women will appear or claim to be celibate and Christian and, you know, living for Christ and virtuous and all this type of stuff. Next thing you know, they're doing all types of sexual things. And that's a turnoff to us, ladies. When you do those things, it doesn't make us want to wife you up. It's like, well, dang, I thought I had a good girl. I thought she was special. I thought she was different from the other women out here who appear to be good girls, but then behind closed door turns out to be free. So that's one of the biggest fears. It is the sex games. Is the women who come off one way, next thing you know, they turn out to be a big freak. That's a huge turnoff, and I cannot stress that enough. The key to becoming a wife is through consistency. There's very little consistency out here, period, with male or females, but I'm just speaking obviously from a male perspective because that's what I've experienced. You deal with a woman nowadays, most women, if not all nowadays, will claim that they're celibate. I mean, nowadays, who really says, oh, yeah, you know, after a couple of weeks, I'm going to give it to you. At the end of tonight, I'm going to give it. I mean, some will, but most will lead you to believe that they're not getting. I mean, keep it real, ladies. Like, in your mind, you know you're going to come off like you don't have sex. But depending on how much you start feeling that guy, let's be honest, those walls are going to start coming down. That whole celibacy thing is going to go out the window. Then it's going to become a matter of, all right, well, when is it the right time? As opposed to, no, I'm celibate. Am I lying, Courtney?
No. You're not lying at all. Like, the celibacy, when people, a lot of women say that, it's not real. It just basically means, it's not that you're celibate, you're just not having sex. And you haven't been presented with the right opportunity to truly test your celibacy.
Right. And that's the what I would encourage everyone to self-reflect on tonight. You know, male and female, are you truly celibate or are you just not having sex right now? Is it just that there's no one in your life right now who you would even want to have sex with? Let's be honest. A lot of times if that special guy came in to the picture, they would, you know, they wouldn't just jump his bones immediately, but if the first date went well, there'd be a second date. Let's keep it honest. You know, after the second date, third date maybe, you know, y'all are chilling. You're enjoying each other's company. That fourth date, a lot of times, you know, after that massage, after the wine, I mean, you know, no relationship, no commitment, no exclusivity. But, hey, let's just roll the dice. hopefully the sex will lead to that. Now, the sex isn't going to lead to that. The sex is going to be the reason most likely why it doesn't go there after the fourth date, which is unfortunate. You know, there are a lot of great relationships or great potential relationships that don't get a chance to become relationships just because of the, you know, because of the sex. So in closing on that, just what I said on Facebook was, when dating, be less concerned with sex and you'll be more likely to be blessed with love. You can't separate yourself from God through sex or with sex and then expect God to still bless you with the man that he has for you, or through porn, or through, you know, whatever else it is that you're, you know, you're, or the forms of sin you might be exhibiting. So, what else? I wanted, like I said, I do have a couple of advice questions that I wanted to touch on tonight. But just real quick on that, before we go there, what I've been seeing a very interesting trend. And I've been seeing this with a lot of the women that I've been working with privately. I've been seeing it through a lot of Facebook status updates. There's a lot of drama going on out there. In fact, I want to read an inbox. I'll leave the woman anonymous. I believe she's listening, but I do want to read her letter. But definitely keep everybody anonymous. I like to respect people's privacy. But it's a very good example of what's happening in today's society. But what I said was is that, ladies, never allow your happiness to be contingent upon a man. I said, allow Jesus Christ to be the source of your joy. And because what I'm seeing is that there are a lot of women who are basing whether or not they have a good day on the status of the situation with them and their boo. You know, you guys heard our show we did a couple weeks ago on the difference between a boo and a boyfriend. Definitely a great. Was that Keeping It Real Fridays?
Oh, I think it was. I'm not sure. I think it was.
It was either a Friday or a Saturday, I believe. But, yeah, definitely. I think it was a Friday now I think about it. But, yeah, very much so the case in today's society. A lot of women they're basing their happiness, they're basing their livelihood off of, you know, whether or not he calls, whether or not you find out that he's having sex with somebody else. If things are not going well, there are a lot of women walking around out here suicidal, depressed, pissed off, you know, just about a man. It's just like, wow, that's unfortunate. You know, is that something that you can relate to? Is that something you've ever been a victim of?
Yes. If I was, you know, treated badly by someone, then not only would I have a bad day, but possibly a bad week, to be honest. And the reason being was the simple fact that I was putting that man on a pedestal and treating him, you know, worshiping him, you know, as an idol. You know, treating him the way that I should be treating God. You know, reverencing him the way I should have been reverencing God. And so that's what a lot of women out there are doing. You know, they're really just so into the man and just worshiping him and hanging on to his every word that, you know, when that disappointment comes, it hurts that much more because they've put that much of themselves into that man.
Right. Absolutely. I want to read y'all something. A young woman inboxed me. She hit me up and said she'll remain anonymous. But she said, when a man is serious about a woman, let me go back here. Young woman said, can I ask for your advice on something? I said, sure. She said, okay. It's the funny. She said, so hypothetically, that's always interesting, hypothetically, let's just say, hypothetically, you or someone is in a relationship with someone else, but on Facebook, the guy's relationship status is single, and if the girl puts her relationship as single, you know, there's a conflict. Does that make sense? She says, laugh out loud. Does that make sense? And one of the things that I said, well, I didn't say this, but I'll say it now, is that, one, there's no laugh out loud because, one, it's not funny, and it's very indicative of when a woman is being played. So, first of all, there's nothing funny about that. But then, secondly, it's not that it doesn't make sense at all. It's actually, it actually makes perfect sense. Because what happens is when you, when a man is playing a game with you, and again, we're talking about sex games, because all games, make no mistake about it, guys, all games pertain to sex, you know, or are in the grand scheme of things an attempt to get the sex. No, like, a man's not going to lie to you. He's not going to play games with you if there's no sex involved, or if that's not his number one intention, his number one goal. You understand that? So if he's dealing with you on that level, well, then obviously, most likely, he's having sex with you. And so it's only an issue because you want that thing to say in a relationship. But if he's putting single, if he's having sex with you, but his thing says single, a man, men in general, are very, very, very territorial. Okay? There will be no games. There will be no lies or deception or anything that doesn't add up. One, when you're dealing with the man that God has for you, but then two, when he wants you, when he sees you as his future wife, think about it. I mean, if Facebook is filled with vultures, you know, who we know are going to be circling around just waiting to swoop down and scoop you up, why would we want to take a chance at your Facebook page saying in a relation or saying single when we know that we want to be with you? Nah, we're going to go ahead and take the initiative to make our page say in a relationship, and we're going to link the profiles together. There's no man on the planet who is taking a woman seriously, who has future plans with a woman, but will allow that woman's Facebook page to say single. I can promise you that. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If the man you're dealing with either has single on his page or allows you to have single on your page, he does not care about you in the slightest. And it is 100% sex. Courtney, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, is there anything else to say? I mean, anything else to add to that? I mean, it's so true. I think the problem is, you know, we as women, we want to make excuses for that. Oh, well, he's just had single because he's not ready, and, you know, I'll continue to work with him and wait around, or, you know, he just got out of something, so, you know, I'll let this slide. And no, it's like you said, when a man wants you, there is no guessing, no type of games or anything like that. You don't have to wait until he's ready. Like, men are very, like you said, territorial and very determined. So, yeah, you're right. He just doesn't want you.
Right. And I think that's something that can be a very tough pill to swallow, you know, when you know, to say, like, wow, I've given my body to a man, but deep down I know that, you know, that's all it is, that's all he wants, that's all it's ever going to be. I mean, that can be tough. I mean, who really wants to accept that? But, I mean, sometimes you have to look at it, you know, actually for what it is. And she goes into saying, we had a little conversation. She said, does that make sense? I said, it makes perfect sense. I said, that man is playing the woman. I said, my advice would be to actually schedule a few counseling sessions where I can get into more detail, because, see, she's asking about a certain situation. I'm trying to look at the big picture and say, well, look, this is not just what's going on with him, but this is also indicative of a larger problem of why you're attracting these types of men who are going to view you in this type of way. See, I get a lot of these types of questions, and a lot of those, you know, I turn those into, you know, people that I work with privately so we're going to get to the root of the problem. You don't just want to solve a problem, an immediate problem. You want to solve the overall problem, which is emotional unavailability, all right? And she says, well, so what makes you so sure that the man is playing the woman? I said, it's obvious. You know, and that's kind of where I explained to her what I just explained to you guys. I said, you know, when a man is serious about a woman, he'll want the world to know. You know, I asked her if she listens to the show. You know, she says, well, I guess I'm just young and naive. And I said, well, you know, interestingly enough, I hear that. You know, a lot of women will say that well, I'm just young. I mean, it has nothing to, I mean, that is the case. She's definitely young, and she is, unfortunately, very naive. Not in a bad way, but just she just doesn't understand, you know, how men think. And most women don't. You know, most women don't have a father who they grew up with to educate them on how men think. So most of the knowledge, and I use that term loosely, that women have obtained over the years has not come from a man actually schooling them on what to do and what not to do. It's come from trial and error. They've had to find out the hard way. And even then, they still really don't have an accurate understanding of what's going on, why. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had women, you know, you guys have heard the testimonies, like, literally thanking us for this show just because, one, there's nothing else out there like it, period. But then, two, just because they never had anything like this growing up, and if they would have, they may not have made a lot of the mistakes, you know, that they have. And so hopefully, you know, this young woman will reach out and, you know, we'll do some private one-on-one counseling, because that's really the only way that this can begin to change. Any thoughts or any advice that you would give her? Because you actually were in a very similar situation, Courtney.
Yes, I was. I wish this show would have been around when I was in college. But, yeah, I mean, I would advise her to definitely listen to the show and set up sessions, because it is going to save her. Because even, you know, though I'm sure she's hurt by this particular situation, just knowing what she knows now and, you know, after doing sessions and all of that, or even just by listening, she is going to be able to prevent herself from getting into the same situation again, because she will have known better. So, I mean, but it happens to the best of us. I mean, that's happened to me. It's happened to most women. Most, if not all women, have been played, even women that are wives, even women that are emotionally, you know, available. They've been played at one point. So, you know, you live and you learn.
That's the key. That's the key, is that a lot of women, you don't. The funny thing is, Morgan actually said a couple years ago when she was a co-host of this show something that was very insightful. She said that, you know, you don't have to be the one making the mistake to learn from that mistake. And that was very, very good, excellent advice, because, you know, listen, that's why we do this show. The show isn't to talk about the mistakes that you've made. A lot of women think that, you know, this show is one of those shows out there that, well, we're coming at women's necks and we're blaming. No, this show has unprecedented content and has had the effect that it's had over the last 10 years, specifically because we're helping women avoid the mistakes that other women have made. You know, and I speak about many of my mistakes. Courtney speaks about her mistakes, you know, so that you guys can learn from them and not make the same mistakes. You know, I don't care what you've done. I'm trying to, you know, help you not do certain things. All right? One of the things that I was saying also, I see, and as we talk about game playing and sex games, things like that, you know, ladies, if you're in what you – I don't see it too much anymore. When Facebook first came out, I saw it more, but, you know, a lot of people had it's complicated, you know, or open relationship. You know, you saw that type of stuff. Not so much anymore, but, I mean, whether you see it on Facebook or not, if that's the actual case, like if it's an open situation, if it's a non-committal situation. In fact, the young woman said, well, it's just tough because I've been with the guy for 8 years, you know, and I'm just like, wow, you know, 8 years? She said, well, isn't that a good thing? And it's unfortunate because she has no clue. Like, everything she was saying is the exact opposite. But that's what I was saying as far as it's complicated and open. That basically means, I don't even want to say he's cheating because it's not an actual relationship to cheat, but he's having sex with other women. Ladies, hear what I'm saying. It's not that he's playing a game. It's just that he's doing what men do when they're in those situations. There's no reason not to have sex with other women if you're in a non-committal situation with one woman. If he wanted to be exclusive with you, then he would commit to you. It wouldn't be a complicated situation. It wouldn't be an open relationship. It would be an actual relationship. So the way that he's able to have sex with other women is by keeping you in limbo so that, you know, he can have the freedom to do what he wants to do. So just don't fall for the BS. It's actually very obvious, but women make it complicated just by not wanting to see the truth, by wanting to hope it can manifest itself into something other than what it clearly is. Those types of situations don't get better. A lot of times people say, well, you know, can men change? No, they're not going to change. They will change later on, but they're not going to ever change how they view you. That's one thing that never changes. If a man views you as in a sexual way, he's always going to view you in a sexual way. If a man doesn't want to be with you, he's never going to want to be with you. Trust me on that. If he's treating you like crap now, he's always going to treat you like crap. Is not the man that God has for you. No relationship that is other than the man that God has for you will ever succeed. Now, that's not to say that, you know, if and when you're dealing with the person that God has for you, there won't be some rough patches, there won't be some bumps along the road. That's a lot different from being in an open relationship or a complicated relationship. See, that's two totally different things. Don't mistake them. All right? The way that you get around that is by simply asking God, hey, look, you know, yeah, there seem to be a lot of games. There seems to be some inconsistency. Bottom line, God, is this the man that you have for me? Is this the woman that you have for me, God? And he will answer you definitively, but you just have to be spiritually mature and obedient to listen, to hear that, and to be obedient to, you know, the answer that God gives you. Something you and I both have struggled with at times in our life, Courtney.
Yeah, because you want things to go your way, especially, you know, when it's in the moment, you feel like you know what's best for your life. I think a lot of people can identify with feeling that way. You know, but you know what's best. And so when things, or you're more likely to stick around because you want it to go your way. But then after it's all over and then, you know, when everything hits the fan, then you realize why that happened or why God showed that to you, because God knows what's best for you. And so it's all about trusting him.
Right. Absolutely. Here's a letter from a young woman. She wrote into the show. She said, Daydon, I just wanted to thank you for telling me to keep my legs closed. I haven't been with a man in over a year and 3 months. Thank you for your advice. I've met a very intelligent and bright African gentleman. He's not from here, but he's willing to come and meet me this summer. Once again, keep doing what you're doing and telling women to keep their legs closed. And let me just tell you, I mean, shout out to her. You know, I love getting letters like that. If you're a woman out there, in fact, I want to start a new challenge. You know, I just literally thought of this idea, like not just like early, but like just now. We're going to do a celibacy challenge. You know, I want people to post it. I don't care if you got smashed off last night. I want you guys to add yourselves to the Friends of the Daydon Tolbert Show, and I want you to post how long you've been celibate. Do it. You know what I'm saying? Like literally I literally just thought it like 2 seconds ago. But I think it's a great idea, you know, in this moment. And we can maybe give out some awards or some prizes or some incentives to who, you know, remains celibate, you know, for the longest. I mean, seriously, because I want to, you know, I think that it's important to celebrate true godly behavior, great behavior, virtuous behavior. You know, if you're a woman out there who maybe was dealing with somebody in a not-so-good situation, you know, saw the light, you heard this show, you walked out of the relationship, the situation, said, I deserve better, and you haven't looked back, you haven't had sex since, share that story. Because this young woman who just wrote into the show saying, a year and 3 months, that's the longest year and 3 months of her life. She hasn't had sex. I guarantee you there hadn't been a year and 3 months prior to that that she had gone without sex. When was the last time you had sex, Courtney?
6 years ago.
Wow. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. 6 years
yeah.
ago. That's a blessing. You know, that's a blessing. And that testimony is inspiring to thousands of women right now who are listening. thousands of women tomorrow who will be listening to these archives. You know, when they actually sit back and say, wow, Courtney can do it. Wow, this young woman who run into the show can do it. Yeah, you know, I know that he's not the man that God has for me. I know that we're not going to be together going forward in the future. So, you know, let me just walk away and start this process. You will feel so much better, so much lighter, so much more blessed. You'll feel closer to God. So you don't have to deal with the sex games. I've been wanting to do this show for a while now. You know, it's a lot of sex games out there. But, yeah, shout out to this young woman. Let me read it. I want to do this. I want to do an advice question real quick. A young woman wrote in. No, I'm sorry. A young man wrote in to the show. Where is this one? First of all, real quick, what do you think about that? Anything you want to say about that young woman who shared her celibacy story?
Yes, I wanted to say congrats to her, and I want to advise her just to keep going. You know, because she can definitely do it. I mean, there. Not to say that there won't be temptation along the way, but, you know, when you overcome it, you just feel so good about yourself. Because honestly, you know, I have become so close to God as opposed to before when I was, you know, fornicating and living.
Getting smashed off.
And, but I wasn't close to him at all. But it's like now I'm able to hear him much more clearly and I have a clear head. So, and that just feels so good. And I just encourage that for her just to continue with it.
Right, and that, you know, and that's what it is. Now, unfortunately, and this goes for the fellas too. You know, post it, and we're gonna make it cool. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make it popular. You know, to be celibate, to post. You know, when was the last time? And don't be uncomfortable. You know, like if it's been 2 weeks, hey, it's been 2 weeks. If it was last Friday, you got to start somewhere. You know, and even if we have to just start it in the Each Woman group where it's all women. Then, you know, so be it. I want to make this, an ongoing thing. We're going to make it, make celibacy cool. So, what do you think about that idea, Corey? You and I haven't even talked about it. I'm telling you, I literally just started it.
Yeah, I love it. I think that is so awesome. I think it's just so awesome. Because, like you said, like so many people, they walk around in shame, and that's just all the devil. Like, you know, he tries to make you feel bad, you know, because you've sinned. It's like he makes you feel like it's the end of the world, but it's all about rebounding and coming back from that. And so that's what we want to do. We want to celebrate that. So I think it's great.
Right. I want to read this question from a guy, but I have another a buddy of mine I was talking to. Shout out to him. I don't know if he's listening, but I'll leave him anonymous. But this is a great example of a hoe. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect, but just a hoe, a disrespectful woman, a great example of a sex game. This is a young woman who a buddy of mine was feeling and has been feeling for a while. You know, he's a nice guy. And, you know, he's not like one of those types of guys who dogs women or even preys on women hoping to dog them. He's literally a younger guy who is looking for love, like adamant about, you know, about finding love and passionately seeking love. You know, just wants that right woman, but he is, you know, he has a tendency to go after the wrong women, and as a result, he often gets played by women, not because he's a sucker, but because he's a nice guy going after and dealing with bad girls who are intent on playing games. So that's a bad combination. Funny thing is, that used to be me to a certain extent. Now, I definitely would have never put myself in some situation that he puts himself into. But at the same time, I've always been a nice guy. I've never been one of those thugs or those dudes who just grip up women and cuss them out or anything like that. Like, I actually, you know, was a nice guy. And, you know, certain women don't appreciate that. You know, they don't. In fact, we did a show a couple years ago on marrying the game where we talked about the game and his relationship with Tiffany, and you know, it was entitled, you know, Why Good Girls Like Bad Boys, and how good girls tend to seek after the guys who you know have that thuggish type of mentality. But long story short, he literally was going after this young woman. She was The first go-around, put it like this, the first go-around a couple years ago, they were cool. He wanted more. She was cool with just being friends. Next thing you know, he was really having feelings for her. Long story short, she ends up in a relationship with somebody else. Boom, that's that. So now he is dealing with the effect of her basically telling him one day, like, I'm in a relationship, don't call me. And this is someone he'd been talking to, like, every night for, like, 45 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, you know. And then, bam, just, like, nothing for, like, a couple months and just ended. In a relationship with this dude for, like, let's say, like, 7-8 months. Long story short. That's, like, well, that's that in short. Next, fast forward maybe a year later, they reconnect. She's no longer in the relationship. And, you know, they reconnect right around Valentine's Day. He does some stuff for her, you know, for Valentine's Day. I think he took her out, you know, put some rose petals down, cooked her dinner, did all types of stuff. Real romantic evening. They kind of reconnected, started talking, you know, over the next week or so. Next thing you know, he calls her up, hits her up. What did she tell him, Courtney? Just take a guess.
She played that. She played when she said, don't call her anymore. What did she tell him?
Right. She ends up getting back with her ex, the same dude that she broke up with. The same dude that she played him for the first go-around. She's like, don't, and after all that, she deletes him off Facebook. Is that not crazy?
Oh,
not,
wow.
It's not crazy, but it's like, I mean, it's crazy. It's like, that's, I mean, it's crazy to me because I wouldn't, that could not be me. But you see what I'm saying? Like, a lot, there's a lot of games being played. And the funny thing is I even told him, I'm like, look, I mean, just as a man, I mean, I told him when he first was dealing with it, I said, look, she's not that type of woman. She's not the type of woman that you, you know, spend 3 hours on the phone with. She's not the type of woman you wine and dine and put rose petals down for and you know, and take to expensive restaurants. That's the type, I'm saying, not only is she not that type of woman, but she doesn't want to be that type of woman. Like, she's a freak. She's the type of woman who literally you could be like, yo, what's good for right now? And, like, she's in the moment. She'll probably let you smash, like, right then and there. And he's like, yeah, nah, I feel you, man. But, you know, I'm just, that's not what I'm looking for. I said, I know that's not what you're looking for. That's my point. That's why you shouldn't be dealing with a woman like that, because that's what she's looking for. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate. And I wasn't encouraging him to, you know what I'm saying, to do that, but I'm just educating him, like, yo, that's what she's into. If that's not what you're into, you don't even need to be dealing with her. I said, look, if you want to smash, then, hey, just do that. But you doing all this other stuff, you know, it's just a waste of time, and it's only going to result in what you're experiencing, well, basically what he just experienced twice. It is what it is, man. Courtney, remind me to tell you what really happened in that story after the show. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's more to that. There's more to that story, but we'll leave that alone. You know what I'm saying? But it's deep. There's always, see, that's what you got to realize. There's always more to the story. You know what I mean? There's all, it's never, this show is as real as it gets, you know, period. But as real as we keep it, it always is like 10 times more real than it could be. But for the sake of radio, we, you know what I mean? Shout out to my listeners over in the UK. We are syndicated over there in Europe, over in Hot 96 in the United Kingdom. And one of our listeners, his name is Marvin from the UK, he wrote in with a question just kind of asking our opinion on a certain situation. And I told him I would share this on tonight's show for him. Hopefully he's tuned in. But he says, hi, Dadon. How's it going? I would like your advice, as in, do you think it's okay for a woman to go out with different men, especially if she says that she wants to get married and start a family one day? A woman I was getting to know said that she really liked me. She told all her friends about me and even told me that she thinks about me and we have spoken about whether or not we would like to be together. We both feel it's in our mutual interest and we do see eye to eye. Then she goes out with another guy, a guy she recently just met. Dadon, do you think that she has led me on. Do you think that I should forget about her? Is she wrong for doing that? Also, she has told me that she likes attention. I would really appreciate your help and advice. Thanks, Marvin from the UK. It's an unfortunate situation. I'm going to give him some advice. Courtney, just from a female standpoint, though, what advice would you give her? Or, excuse me, him.
I would tell him to leave her alone. Ironically, the woman that he's talking about in the letter was me at one point. But I was still advising the same thing, to leave her alone.
How so?
And I knew because...
How was it you?
Because she was looking for attention. And I knew at the end of it that was the case, like after he said it. It sounds like she has, she didn't have a father around, and she's looking for men to chase her. And so that's almost is going to be an insatiable desire. And so even after she gets into a relationship with him, let's just say hypothetically, she's still going to want the attention of other men, and that is going to cause a problem. So that is why he needs to leave her alone and just be with a woman that doesn't seek attention like that.
Good advice from a female standpoint. I mean, that attention is really can be a horrible thing that really goes back to what we always talk about just as far as daddy issues and, you know, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be loved, you know, seeking out the attention of men to take the place for, you know, the love that they would really want from their father. And, you know, I mean, even with my daughter now, I mean, she's just like, Mama, where's Daddy? Like, I could be right in the other room. She's like, Daddy, I don't see you. Like, just she's getting so much. It's crazy how she's getting older. Now she's, like, talking, like, actually talking, like, formulating sentences and, you know, seeking out, you know, attention. Well, you know, funny thing is because that's what kids are supposed to do. But so many women, unfortunately, have been robbed of their childhood, robbed of their youth, and not had those types of happy memories. See, the thing about it is, the difference is, see, when my daughter calls out and says, where is Daddy? I'm only in the other room. I'm only down in the man cave. I may be upstairs. You see what I'm saying? But I can still make myself appear, and she understands that everything is okay. So she does not have to continue seeking that attention. She does not have to seek that attention from other men. She won't have to do that when she gets older because she's getting it now. You guys understand that? That's the importance of having fathers in the lives of these kids. So that way they won't have to be on Instagram in a bikini talking about something, they're a model. You know what I mean? Like, no, trying to find the right lighting that Instagram provides to give them some type of illusion. You know what I'm saying? It's all ridiculous. That's not real beauty. You understand? Real beauty is classiness. Real sexiness, you know, is respecting your body, respecting yourself to never allow yourself to be disrespected by a man. Okay? That's the first. So the attention, I just want to touch on for a second, that's where the attention actually comes from, or the need for attention comes from and originates from. But as far as this situation is concerned, all women are going to tell you they want love. I mean, really, who says, yo, honestly, yo, I'm just a freak and I'm just trying to get it in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of drifting from situation to situation. And after a couple weeks, after maybe even tonight, depending on how you play your cards, you know, you might get some. You know, that's – nobody is – very few women will actually tell you that. They will lead you to believe that they want love, but then it'll end up being – they'll settle for less than that because their standards have become lowered. And so that it's a lot of men – well, a lot of women do it, unfortunately, but – men, you don't see as many men that I've seen going strictly off the words of women. Usually hear women just taking the you know, taking what these men are saying and just going with it, rolling with it. This guy's, oh, yeah, she says she wants to be with me. She says she wants to be a wife. So we talked about being together, but now she's seeing somebody else. What should I do? Well, I mean, what you should do is you walk away. You leave her alone. You don't get stressed out about these women. You understand that, guys? I mean, it's not really even that complicated. See, if a woman can't respect you, then she has no place in your life. If a woman is seeking attention from another man, that tells you that evidently she sees something or she's still searching for something that for whatever reason she hasn't been able to find in you. You know, and that's okay. You know, that's all right. Because you don't see elite men, guys, you guys got to realize, they don't compete. A lot of women, they think that the best men are going to sit around and compete for a woman. That, I mean, why, I've never competed for a woman, not once in my life. If a woman ever made it evident that she was dealing with another man, I said, oh, that's cool. Well, look, I'll talk to you another time. You know, and then proceed to delete the number off the phone. But you see, there's no reason to do that. A lot of women will say, oh, you know, he's intimidated. He's, you know, insecure. He can't handle it. It's not about that. It's about there's no reason to. I mean, certain things you could do, but why would you? There are too many women who are okay with spending Friday night in the crib watching Netflix, getting ready for the following week, just chilling, you know, not dealing with anybody, not texting somebody, are 100% emotionally available. There's no reason to settle for less than that. So if you're out here dating and going to these clubs and, you know, getting grinded on, giving guys your number, I mean, it's just like nobody's going to do that. You think these men don't watch you giving your number out to other people? Then you wonder why he's one of four or five numbers you gave or guys you gave your number to, and then you wonder why he ends up treating you the way he treated you. Well, he saw what you did in the club. He saw the other numbers you gave out. He knows the deal. Nowadays, women are so bold, they'll come right out and tell you, oh, yeah, you're not the only guy I'm dealing with. Oh, okay, in that case, let me take you out. What are you doing on Saturday? Let me take you to wherever and spend $200 on you when you already told me that I'm not, like, would that even make sense, Courtney?
No, and that's why a lot of women, they don't get the dates, but it turns into the guy not even calling them on the phone, but just texting them. Turns into that type of situation that happened to me before. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's really just no reason to do it. Okay, so I mean, from that perspective, it's I would definitely say leave her alone, but from a spiritual perspective, I'd say, you know, she's obviously playing games. And one of the things I said to the ladies earlier is that when you're dealing with the man or the woman that God has for you, the relationship won't be complicated because God isn't, you know, he's not the author of confusion. So there's really no need to subject yourself to a situation, any situation, because the word says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, and you won't even have to, settle for less than you want to deserve. There's no reason to. So, I mean, and really, I think that when you eliminate sin, you know, that's the way that you're able to, like Courtney said, you know, hear from God more clearly. You won't have to get caught up in the sex games. Because I tell people every night, I mean, you know, the only reason that that you won't be having sex, the only or engaging in porn or, you know, some form of lustful activity is a close and intimate relationship with God. And every day, you know, you striving every day to, you know, be pleasing to God. And I'm not just talking about for 40 days or, you know, Lent, you know, or whatever. I'm not talking about that type of foolishness. I'm talking about because you actually have a heart to please God, you want to do what's right just to do what's right, not to try to get love, not to try to get anything else, some type of financial blessing, but just because you want to do the right thing. That's the way that you get blessed with love. So any last thoughts on that, Courtney?
I mean, I would just encourage, the women just to do self-reflection just on everything that we discussed and eliminate all forms of lust, sex, porn, daydreaming. I know a lot of women I speak to, you know, they get caught up in daydreaming, and that is where, you know, the devil tries to get you caught up back into the life that, you know, God delivered you from. So you just want to be very careful about what you take in, the TV shows you watch, the music that you listen to. All of those things, it plays a big role in your mentality and how you will be viewed by these men. So just definitely think about that, and you'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all it is. You know, take the advice from these women. A young woman called in, says she took our advice, kept her legs closed. You know, so many women out there I know who are really great examples of virtuous women. A lot of women claim to be virtuous women, but they're still out there playing those sex games. You know, we talked to you guys, last time around this year about the whole sleepers game, women out there being blindfolded, talking about something, you got to do a penalty. Y'all know about the sleepers game. Don't act like y'all don't know. You know, talking about some, what is it, Courtney, what's the game? There was a sheep herder, and he had 26 sheep. One dies. How many are left? How many, Courtney?
19.
The sheep herder. Huh?
19. Uh-huh.
Oh, see, you remember this show from like, a lot of women out there like, what? No, 25. It's 25. What are you saying? You know how many women fell victim to that game over the years? Like, oh, well, sorry, but that was a really good answer. But, you know, unfortunately, you get a penalty. Oh, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean? It's 25. 26 sheep, one dies. What? Oh, no. I got a penalty. I got to take my clothes off. Oh, no. Oh, darn. Come on. What's the answer? What's the answer? Tell me the answer. Like, come on. And these are the types of games that occur on a Friday night. You know? These are the types of games that, ironically, and here's the irony of it, is that it's all fun and games until after the sex, until the sex doesn't give you the intended result of the sex. That you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, no, you got a penalty, so you got to give my man head. You got to run down the hallway butt naked. I mean, forget the sleepers game. I mean, how many women actively were active participants in dorm room truth or dare? You know what I'm saying? Do tell. Do tell.
It wasn't really in my dorm. It was when I moved off campus and got my own apartment. And this guy I was dealing with, he dared me to run down the hallway naked, and I did.
What the heck?
Silly.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, he told me that he was actually going to do it with me, but that ended up not happening, and I ended up doing it by myself.
Yeah, nobody would ever do that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the type of stuff that it is. It's all a game. It's all, you know, with the sole purpose of getting you to a certain point where you feel comfortable disrespecting yourself. You know, what's up with the women? Just because we can't talk about sex games and not actually talk about certain sex games. You know, women who will allow you to grind but not actually have sex. I mean, what, Courtney, what is that? Because I've seen Christian women do that. Now, we can do this, but, you know, I don't want to go all the way because it's, I mean, what the heck? What's the difference?
Yeah, I've done that too. I don't know what it's about. I guess a part of you, I don't know. You want to see if the man will really do it or if he'll cooperate with you, if he'll really chase after you for sex. I guess it's the thrill you get and feeling like you have some form of control. And so I did that thinking I was in control because I didn't give him sex. But then the next morning, he makes up an excuse about him having to go to work early. And he basically kicked me out. and I had to walk home by myself. This was on a Sunday, still with my club clothes on. And I never heard from him after that, ever again.
Right, it's deep. Yeah, it's definitely deep, you know. But that's how it goes. You know, ladies, so, I mean, don't ever sacrifice yourself. Don't sacrifice your self-respect, your self-esteem, just to be accepted by a man who clearly doesn't want a future. And I think one of the problems is that there hasn't been a clear, you know, up until now, up until this show, a clear blueprint on specifically how to know when a man actually sees a future with you. I mean, right, I mean, there's really been, this is unprecedented. You know, and so now that this show exists, now that there are books out there, my new book comes out, you know, this summer. I mean, there's so many different, you know, areas of information that we're giving you. There's really no excuse for not knowing how a man feels about you. There's no excuse for falling victim to the sex games, certainly not after tonight's show. Ladies, I mean, if a man asks you, please understand this, because we'll get guys coming out the woodwork every so often, you know, and wanting to debate about nothing. But the reality is, if a man asks you either for a massage or to give you a massage, it's with the sole purpose of sex. I mean, you know that, right, Courtney?
Yes, I do.
Right. Because, see, back in the day, it was actually a foolproof method for me. It was almost routine. It was just like, okay, you know, what I don't even remember now, but it would be something to the effect of, you should give me a massage. They'd be like, what? You should give me a massage. No, come on, I asked first. You know, I was playing basketball. I had a tennis match. You should give me a massage. Okay, I'll give you a massage. And then, you know, he'd get on top, do some type of ridiculous massage, whatever. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, here, turn over. Let me show you how it's done. You know what I'm saying? So the next thing you know, I'm giving her a massage, and, you know, and it's just like, you know. I mean, ladies, you guys should know. But I think on one hand, you should know, and you – you know, now you do know from hearing these stories, but then in most cases, you actually already know and are just, you know, going with the, you know, going through the motions, going with the flow. You know what it is. You know what you want to do. You know you matched up that bra and panty set, you know what I mean, knowing that it was going down. And I mean, let's be honest. You know what I mean? It wasn't the holy bra from like 5 years ago that you wear when you go out with your girlfriends. It was the one that you just bought from Target that with the matching, you know, panties. Not Victoria's Secret. They got this set from Target. They say, nah, shoot, Victoria's Secret's bra is like $60. Nah, I'm gonna go to Walmart and get this. I got a date tonight. I'm gonna get this sale 2 for $20. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Go to Bath and Body Works, get the body spray. You set. Got the matching bras, panties, and the body spray. You good? Listen, that's. I'm gonna let him give me a massage. Don't do that. Don't let him give you a massage, because once you do that, and it's not even necessarily about the massage or the sex. It's more so you allowing that man to rub all over you in that form of intimacy, that form of invasion into your personal space, in his mind signifies, whether you have sex with him or not, the fact that you're allowing him to rub all over you on the first date. No money has been spent, no time has been, you know, spent with each other, no quality time, but you're now allowing your body to be caressed and fondled by a man you don't even know his last name or his birthday or, you know, anything about him. There's no possible way that man can respect you. So from that point on, he's on top of you, grinding on your butt as he gives you a back massage. He's basically thinking, all right, how can I get these pants off? That's all he's thinking. From that point on, indefinitely, he will never look at you in any possible way other than that. It's important that you understand that. And so the way that you get around that is by not even putting yourself into that situation. Okay, because you don't, it's a lot of women say, well, I didn't have sex. It has nothing to do with whether you do or you don't. It has to do with how you're being perceived. It has to do with that man's intention. Because being targeted for sex by a man is really just as bad as actually having sex with that man in the grand scheme of things, as far as emotional availability goes. You know, because think about it. What man wants to wife up a woman who's having sex with somebody? Clearly that's not going to be the case. But what man wants to wife up a woman who's being targeted for sex with, by somebody? Nobody. It's the same thing. So just think of it from that perspective and don't even engage in any of the sex games. What other sex games haven't we talked about, Courtney? Because I'm going to wrap it up in a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Like, did we miss anything? We talked about the sleepers. We talked about the massage. We talked about grinding. Oral sex. I mean, let's just be honest. I've worked with a lot of women lately, to be honest, who really enjoy oral sex. You know, I'm talking about oral sex without actual sex. Will allow a man to do that, but not allow him to do other things. What is that, Courtney?
Well, it's a couple things. One is to, I think a lot of women do it because they tell themselves, well, I'm trying to keep my numbers down, so I still want to be pleasured, but, you know, I don't want to sleep with a lot of guys. So if he does that, you know, if he eats me out, then that's not going to be as bad because we technically didn't have sex. So that's one part, like one reason. And then another, I guess, is because a woman wants, I mean, she enjoys that, and then, you know, once the orgasm's over, it's nothing else to do after that. Like, in her mind, if she really enjoys that, then, I mean, that's really all she needed. So, yeah.
Don't do it. And because the reality is, I know that a lot of women actually really don't like sex. You know what I'm saying? A lot of women, you'd be surprised how few women actually enjoy the actual act of sex, but will do it because they enjoy the intimacy, the, you know, the holding, the cuddling, just a man touching them, holding them, that comes along with sex. So they'll sacrifice the sex for what they get as a result of the sex in that moment. But then obviously the feeling when that man leaves, when he makes up the excuses. I used to have a code with the homies. I would literally send text messages saying, like, yo, you know, I need you to call me. Like, or if I can't text you, yo, just call me at midnight, you know, and that'll just call me, and I'll let you, and we'll go from there. But I might need a way out, you know, like after the sex, I'm basically going to need an excuse to get up out of there, because who really wants to be a bastard, you know, and get up? Ladies, I'm just telling you right now, he doesn't have to work in the morning. His best friend isn't stranded with a flat tire on the expressway. His mom doesn't need him to come move a couch at 11:30 at night, okay? It's just that the fact that he doesn't want to be there with you, okay? I mean, after the sex. Like I told you about that, this young woman, she, we were chilling, and all of a sudden after the sex, she just, like, laid there, like, not even laid there, but she just sat up on the couch butt naked, just, like, watching TV. We were watching a movie. She goes back to watching the movie butt naked. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, get your clothes on. What the heck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, talking about something, where do you keep your soap? You know, and I tell you guys that story every so often, but it's like, ladies, you know, as we talk about sex games, you know, it's important to understand that you don't want, one of the worst things you can do, and I don't want y'all to take this the wrong way, you're not automatically invited to spend the night after sex. Okay? I mean, you know, we all know we shouldn't be doing it, but, you know, we're past that. We know what goes on. A lot of times women will get comfortable, okay, you know, in a situation where it's not necessarily meant for them to be comfortable. Do you feel like, Courtney, just generally speaking, that if the sex is going to go down, is that an automatic invitation for the woman to spend the night?
No, it's not. It's not, and you know what? I never, even though I only spoke with two people, I never expected to be invited to stay. It's been situations where I've actually put my clothes on, you know, preparing to go back home, and it just so happened that person was like, no, what you doing? But you can't expect that that man is going to invite you to spend the night, because a lot of times you'll get let down. So
right.
Take it for what it is. It's just sex.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that I don't understand it. I don't, you know, I understand. I get it. Why, you know, who wants to take that walk of shame and feel like they were, you know, taken advantage of or not really appreciated. But, you know, it, just because you give your body to a man, which is really the reason why you shouldn't be doing it, but just because you give your body, that does not give you the right to dictate who and what he does with his time, you know, who he chills with, how he, you know, who, whether or not you spend the night even. You know, I had a very awkward situation a long time ago with a young woman who was very upset because I had, she basically came from out of town. And, you know, the sex ended up going down late, you know. And so the plan was that she was going to go home that day. But because we ended up chilling later than expected and she was from out of town, I was like, all right, so now she's just going to stay. And I'm just like, wow, I had plans on hitting the club that night. So it was just like a, you know, a little bit of an awkward situation. But, you know, I'm just saying you want to just try not to, you know, just try not to go there. Don't put a man in a situation in which he feels like he has to do the code to text his friend and tell him to he's stranded on the highway so he can just so he can get out of it. Just make it – really don't do it, but if you're going to do it, you know, understand what it is. Years ago, what was it, maybe at least 3-4 years ago, one of the realest shows I've ever done was my special on the rules of being a friend with benefits. Totally different show done from a different perspective than what you guys are used to hearing nowadays, but one of the realest shows anyone will ever hear. You can probably check it out on, you know, Google. It's definitely in the archives, but yeah. You know, it's, and a lot of times people don't understand the rules. They don't understand the rules of being a jump off. They don't understand the rules of being a friend with benefits and the do's and don'ts. So check that out. But we're going to get ready to wrap it up. You know, thank you guys for hanging out. Thanks for, you know, listening to us talk about just various forms of games that are being played in and out of the bedroom. Courtney, what last words of wisdom or, you know, feedback do you have?
I would say stop playing sex games. You're either going to do it and does not have any type of expectations, or just you're going to abstain completely. No in-between. Don't, you know, make someone think that it's going down and it's not. Because, you know, you think you may think that you're in control, but you will be the one that will be heartbroken. So you definitely want to keep that in mind.
This is what that's excellent advice. The advice that I would give, just to kind of piggyback off of that, is that, you know, when you, the biggest form of games, like when you're talking about sex, any type of manipulation, it's always going to revert back to games. And one of the things you have to realize is you're never in control, ladies. I don't care what society has taught you. I don't care what you would like to believe, but you never are going to be in a situation where you have control over a situation, for lack of a better term, where there's sex involved. Once you give it up, you basically are at that man's mercy, okay? You basically are now, because you, that's just how it is. You are, you may, and the way the games come in, where the conflict comes in, because now that you've given it up, there's some type of internal power struggle as to who has the control. But that's the control that you've, one, never had in the first place, and definitely don't have after you've already given it up. So you kind of have to go with the flow unless you just decide to walk away. In fact, a young woman asked in the group, I meant to talk about this earlier, she posted a question. She said, what does it mean when a man says that he has you? He know. Did you see that, Courtney? That question, Courtney?
No, I haven't been online.
I forget. This was like a couple of days ago. I forget, but that was like the gist of it. She was basically saying, like, what does that mean? What would make a man say that to you? And I said, well, really, I know a couple people commented on it, but in a nutshell, I mean, it's true. Because think about it. If a man is able to say to you with some form of certainty and definitive, some form of definitive nature, look, like, I have you. I know you ain't going nowhere. You know, that he's obviously done some things. He's obviously seen some things from you that tell him, like, all right, he basically has you exactly where he wants you. In fact, many of you may remember back when me and Gerald were doing this show. It was a Keeping It Real Fridays where me and Gerald really, yeah, I mean, we killed these Keeping It Real Fridays shows. I mean, those were like some of the best shows of all time where we had a question from a young woman who was dealing with a guy. They were engaged, or they'd been together for like 3 years. They had recently got engaged. Long story short, she had found out that he was cheating on her after 3.5 years, and she called into the show, and she was just heartbroken and was just, like, really upset. And we had to tell her, it was like, yo, he's cheating on you. It was like a two-part thing. It was like one of the best situations that we've heard so far over the years. And but she called in asking for our advice, and because she saw some signs. And Gerald and I both told her specifically, like, he's definitely cheating on you. So then I think, like, the next day, that night she confronted him. The next day she called into the show crying, tears, basically, you know, saying, like, wow, yeah, I confronted him, you know, and I kicked him out. I broke up with him. He, you know, he's been trying to get me back. And he told me that, long story short, he basically was saying to her that, yeah, I cheated. You know, I admit it. But the reality is, yeah, I'm cheating, but I'm not going anywhere, and you're not going anywhere. I'm going to forgive you. Or she said, you're going to forgive me, and I'm going to be a better man, and we're going to live happily ever after. We're actually going to continue the engagement. We're going to get married, and you're not going to leave me. And she said, it's sad to say, but he was right. And many of you may remember that from several years, at least maybe like 3-4 years ago, but you guys heard it. And you, with tears in her eyes, she had to admit the truth. As arrogant as a statement as that was that man made, it was true. And so in closing, we just, you know, my advice to you all would be not to be that woman. Never find yourself in a situation where you're stuck because of games, because of insecurity, because of self-esteem issues, because of a lack of a father figure. You stay with a man who clearly doesn't want you, who clearly is using you, who clearly is preying on your inability to do what you really want and get what you really want out of life. So that's my advice. Hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Definitely you know, give us a call with any you know, counseling requests. 855-55-DATE-ON. Thank you guys for listening. Courtney, thank you for being here. We will be back a little bit later in the week. Look out for Courtney's new book, which is still untitled. Look out for that this summer. My new book, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days, is on its way. Look out for that. In the meantime, get my novel, The Love We Had, on Kindle, on Amazon. Best book you ever read in your life. Thank y'all for listening. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Peace. Are you looking for love out there? Pain is all we find. A great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Are you coming up empty out there? Let it be. Take you.
Dayton be your motivation? Child, let Dayton Tolba motivate you, girl. Let Dayton be your motivation. Child, let Dayton Tolba come and rock your world. Let Dayton be your motivation. Child, let Dayton Tolba motivate you, girl. Let Dayton be your motivation. Child, let Dayton Tolba come and change your world. Settle for less, you don't have to be a fool. Call him up, let the tears fall down, tell him how you feel for you. Little girl, don't be lost anymore, this brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak, I guarantee it will help you stand.
Dayton be your motivation, child, let Dayton Tolba come and change your world.